leave us nor forsake us. His promise is that He'll go all the way, even unto the end. Amen. God bless you tonight. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have our visitors with us tonight. Let's give them a hand. Let them know how welcome they are. How glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us. And I, too, am in great anticipation of revival. Now, Brother Wynn's not going to bring revival.
Amen.
He's going to minister. Amen. The Holy Spirit's going to bring revival. And if we're hungry, and if we're receptive and submissive and obedient to the move of God, we'll have revival. Amen. And I'm looking forward to a great time in the Lord. So come, make plans to be there. It's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, starting at 7 o'clock. Bring somebody with you. Amen. If you have to work late, come on in your work clothes. That's quite all right. Don't have a problem with that whatsoever. We just want you to be here. Amen. If you love the Lord, give Him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Judges tonight, in the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. I want to begin reading in verse number 9. Judges chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 9. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. All right, everybody must not be there yet. When you get there, everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Reading from the precious and holy word of God. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, and outside unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all of the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea side for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto the tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Can we bow our heads in prayer tonight? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, for this day and this time and opportunity that we have to come into your presence and worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. Thank you for each and every one, God, that's put forth that effort to be here tonight. And I pray, God, that you would open up the window of heaven, pour out an anointing and a blessing upon this congregation. God, I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, open up our ears that we may hear your word. God, I ask that you anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, and use this vessel, use this oracle so that you may get honor and you get glory. God, feed us tonight that you would have us to hear. We'll be so careful to love you, to thank you, and to praise you. For we ask it all in the precious and sweet holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give him one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to take a message entitled, If You Are Afraid, Then Hear What the Enemy Is Saying. If you're afraid, listen to what the enemy is saying. I was stirred in my spirit by one particular phrase, the sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord. In my mind, I tried to envision the sword of the Lord. This is what I came up with. I'm glad I'm on his side. Amen. When I began to envision a picture, when I began to try to focus on it, Brother David, I began to think, my, that's powerful. That's majestic. That's great in power. And I thought about the sword of the Lord and how the sword of the Lord can fight our battles for us. Then I began to reminisce. Then I began to think of all the battles that God has won just in my particular situation. And I began to think, what a mighty, mighty God that we serve. In fact, I was somewhat thinking about singing that chorus tonight. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. The Bible says, the song says, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God
that we serve. And I thought about Gideon, and I thought about how all of it came into play. And you know the story of Gideon, how that God whittled his army down to 300. But that's not really where it begins. Gideon was in the wheat field threshing wheat, and God sent an angel to him and began to declare him, and he called him a man of valor. And I would imagine that was probably the first time that Gideon had ever been called a man of valor. And the thing about it is, Gideon didn't realize what God could do with that vessel. And many of us don't realize what God can do through us if we'll just dedicate and commit our life to God. God can use these vessels. God can bless through you tonight. You may not see the capability. You may not see the talent. You may not even see the ability, but God can use these vessels, amen, to reach the lost and to stir hearts and to change lives in the world today. And I would dare say if there's lives that needed to be changed, it's in the hour that you and I live in, amen. And I began to think about how that Gideon was called, and Gideon made the sacrifice, and he come out to the angel, and he brought this meat and he brought this bread, and he placed it before the angel of God. And little did we realize, Gideon was trying to see if he was an angel. See if it really was from God. I mean, so many times God asks us to do something. God, is that really you? God, are you speaking to me? Are you sure you got the right person? Lord, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. But God knows who he's speaking to. And Gideon was there, and he brought the food out, and he placed it on the rock. And the angel didn't eat it. The angel just touched it with his staff, and fire fell or came from that stone, and it absolutely consumed the entire meal that Gideon had faced or placed for him. And Gideon was assured from that very moment that this was an angel of God. And he began to make preparation to be used by the power of God. And you know the story, as Gideon came and he went to the children of Israel, he began to gather all those men together, and he was getting ready to fight because he was feeling good about what the angel had told him. He was feeling good about the anointing power of God, and God had already assured him that he had delivered the Amalekites and the Midianites into his hand. And I would imagine Gideon was getting the battle plan in order, and I imagine he was looking and trying to see what he was going to do with the army of Israel. And he was probably pretty excited when all of these men showed up and from the different tribes, and they was ready to congregate and to go and to fight for Israel and once again return the blessings to Israel that Israel had backslidden and began to let idolatry creep in. And he was all excited about what God was going to do, and all of a sudden God began to trim his army down. And you know the story, how that God trimmed it down to 300 men. And the amazing thing about the 300 men, Gideon divided them up. Now, here's where it gets very, very interesting. Up until this point, it seems like that Gideon was really excited about the move of God. He was anticipating revival. He was anticipating God coming on the scene and delivering this enemy into their hands. But he looked around and he began to sum up the situation. He began to look through fleshly eyes rather than through eyes of faith. And he looked and he saw his 300 men, and God spoke to him because God knew what he was going through. Let me tell you something, folks. There's not a thought that ever comes into our mind that God is not aware of. Amen. So God began to talk to him, and he told him to go down into the enemy's camp. Go down to the outer edge of the enemy's camp. And he said, if you're afraid, then take your servant Phurah with you. And he did, because that let me know that he was a little bit fearful. He was trying to have faith. He was trying to believe that God was going to give them victory and that God was going to cause the children of Israel to be victorious and win a great battle. But there was still that little bit that was fearful. And I began to think how much like that that we are today. We want to believe. We want to trust in God. And I thought about Sister Brenda's testimony as she stood Wednesday night, and she encouraged us to not necessarily pray for healing, but believe for healing and go ahead and call it done. And in the name of the Lord. But then she testified this morning, even when she said that, she said she was still feeling just a little bit reluctant because she had stepped out on faith and declared it done. And the devil jumped up there and said, what if it doesn't happen? What if it is this serious matter? And that's what I believe that Gideon was feeling. He wanted to believe for victory. He wanted to believe that God was going to put the hands, the children of Israel over the Amalekites and the Midianites and cause them to be victorious in this battle. But yet he was still a little fearful because he knew that it was a great army. He knew that there was a multitude of folks because the Bible said he went down and he looked and they was laying on the ground and the camels without number and he said there was as grasshoppers there. You couldn't even count them. It was like trying to count the sand of the seashore. And I imagine just a little bit of reality began to set in. Here he was with 300 men. Here he was fixing to fight a battle. And the Bible tells us the enemy was as a multitude. But little do we realize how that God works on the other end. Sometimes we can't see it. In fact, most times we can't see it. We can only believe it. God tells us to believe. But God had already told Gideon, the battle is yours. I'm going to put the children of the Amalekites and the Midianites, both, I'm going to put them in the hands of Israel. And you will be victorious if you'll just be obedient unto me and do what I've asked you to do. But nevertheless, I want to send you down to the enemy's camp. And I imagine ever so easily and seven, ever so sneakingly, they were easing down there to see what they could see. And probably it come to them when they looked over there and they saw all the guards standing around and they looked over there and they saw all the camps and the campfires and all the people laying on the ground. And they thought, my goodness, what a host of an army this is. Amen. But when they got there, God had already moved. Hallelujah. Brother Adam, isn't it great? Sometimes we worry about things we don't have to worry about. So many times if we just put our faith and trust in God and know that God is working away even when we can't see it, amen, God was already stirring that camp up. God had already visited the enemy's camp and he had already visited there one with a vision and let him know. And he was telling another one about this. And that man said, that's nothing more than the sword of Gideon and the Lord that he serves. And they already knew that they was defeated. They already felt it. There was already such a fear there in that enemy's camp. And you know what? Gideon was just a part of it. Just a simple, obedient servant that God was using. And what I liked about it, you know, the Bible said in one hand they had a trumpet. In another hand they had a pitcher. And I'm wondering, what was they going to fight with? But they didn't need that because they had the sword of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So many times we're wondering, how are we going to defeat the devil? How are we going to defeat this affliction? How are we going to defeat this enemy that's coming against us? Whether it's depression, anxiety, whatever it may be, financial situations, and we're wondering what in the world we're going to do. As long as we've got the sword of the Lord, folks. Amen. The sword of the Lord is always victorious. Just as God was trying to convince me this week that I don't have anything to worry about. As long as I'm on His side and as long as He's on my side, He's going to fight my battles for me. Amen. The battle's not ours. It belongs to God. Praise the Lord. If God has ever won a battle for you, give Him a praise tonight. Come on, glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thought about Gideon. And God said, well, if you're afraid to go down there by yourself, take Phura. Take your servant. And I thought about Phura. Phura had no choice. He had to go. Gideon had a choice. Phura didn't. Phura was his servant. He had to do what Gideon said to do. And I thought about, Lord, I want to be your servant. Amen. Whatever you tell me to do, I want to do it. God, if you lead me, then I want to follow you. If you tell me to go, I want to go. If you tell me to stop, I want to stop. If you tell me to get up, Lord, I want to get up. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I want to be a servant unto you in every capacity of my life. God, it's not my choice. It's not my will, but thine be done in everything that I do, every decision I make, every direction in which I go, whether it be on my job, in my home, my finances, or whatever it is. God, I want to put it into your very capable hands, and I want to trust you just as Phura obeyed Gideon. Amen. When Gideon said, let's go, Phura had no choice, but he had to follow him down there. And Gideon got down there, and I imagine he was amazed to hear what he began to hear. He realized that he was not nearly as afraid as the enemy was. And you know, I believe somebody needs to hear that tonight. Come on. Maybe we get a little afraid sometimes when we visited the doctor's office. And the doctor tells us that it's not really good news. Tells us things ain't looking real, real good. And I can't but begin to tell you that might put fear in your heart. But listen, folks, when we just begin to say that phrase, the sword of the Lord. You know what? I kind of like to try things to make sure they work. I'll go in a store, and especially if I'm with the grandkids, and they'll have this line of toys and all like that, and they'll have this little thing that says, "Try me." You ever seen that? I do it. I push that button. I want to see if it really works. If I'm going to get them one, I want to get them one that works. Amen? And I try that thing, and the little light comes on or whatever, and the little bulldozer begins to chug along, or the train goes along. And I found out today that my grandson is tired of Thomas the Train. He now wants Emily. That's another train, I think. But I assure you, if I go buy one, I'm going to try it. Make sure it works. Amen? I'm going to make sure that thing works. And here's the thing about it. When you try the sword of the Lord, it's going to work. Amen? It has never failed. It's not going to fail now. Amen? I begin to... You know what? Let me just share with you just a minute before I get so caught up in this. Because God doesn't deal with me a whole lot like this. But so many times, God will give me a scripture. He'll put something in my heart, in my mind, and I'll study. And from that comes a sermon. But all I could see this week was the sword of the Lord. And the only place that I really could identify that with the story of Gideon. And I said, "Lord, I have preached Gideon every way you can preach him." I mean, how many times can you tell a story about 300 men who never had to throw a spear, who never had to shoot an arrow, who never had to pick up their sword? God fought that battle for them when most of the other army fled and went back home because they was too afraid. But 300 souls under the leadership of Gideon went down and they blew that trumpet in one hand, and they broke those pitchers in the other hand, and they raised that lantern and they blew that trumpet, and that 300 men completely surrounded the enemy, and the enemy was so discombobulated, the enemy was so confused, that they began to draw their sword on each other and kill each other and run and flee from the mighty hand of God. How many ways can you tell that? And God said, "You're overlooking. It wasn't the sword of Gideon that they was afraid of. It was the sword of the Lord." Amen. And when you come against the enemy, you come against the enemy not in the name of First Pentecostal, not in the name of your pastor, but you come in the name of the Lord and show him and tell him that the sword of the Lord is victorious. Amen. Praise God. Give God another hand clap of praise if you would. Hallelujah. So I want you to go down. Isn't that something to ask? Go down and not take those 300 men, but go down with just your servant. In fact, God said, "If I'd really just soon you go down by yourself. But if you're afraid, take your servant with you. Take your prayer partner with you." Amen. You know, the Bible says if two agree, it's touching anything. I told you the story just recently. Let me share it again. It's been about 3 weeks ago. I was busy in the office, and one of the ladies that works out there in one of the cubicles, she came in. And it's really kind of amusing because the lady that works in my office, she says, You need one of those signs that says, "The doctor's in" or "The doctor's not in." She said, "Because you're not going to be able to get your work done for these people." But you know what? I think God has a purpose. And as long as my boss don't give me any problems with it, when people come, I'm still going to pray with them. Amen? I'm still going to counsel with them. I'm still going to listen to what they say. And she came in with this situation. And she said, "This is a dire situation for my daughter. And I know that you believe in God. And I know that you know the scripture. And I just want you to pray with me." And I said, "Okay." I said, "But let me tell you something. When you ask me to pray, I'm going to believe it. Are you?" Amen. And she says, "Well, I know you." No, I said, "Wait a minute. I want you to believe it too." She said, "Well, I want you to help me pray." I said, "I'm going to pray." I said, "But when I pray, I'm going to call it done, and I'm going to believe it done." And the Bible says if two will agree. Now, I'm going to agree, and I want you to agree with me that it's going to happen. And I had to encourage her. I had to encourage her and lead her and guide her. Because she didn't want to do it to start with because she was afraid that it might not happen. I said, no, we got to agree. We got to agree in the name of Jesus. If two will agree, God's got to do it. His sword will show up. Amen. His sword will be there. His word, amen, will back up that if we will just agree in the name of the Lord Jesus. And she finally said, okay, and we shook hands, and right there in my office, we began to pray, and I called it done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I let go of her hand, and I said, it's going to be all right. Because I believed. And I had no doubt, not praising me, not lifting myself up, but in lifting up the sword of the Lord. Amen. Because I know how God works. And I know God honors faith. And amen, if we'll believe and have the faith is of a grain of mustard seed, mountains can be moved in the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it wasn't hardly a week later, she came in. She said, I was so excited, I had to call my daddy who lives in Maryland. And he said, and I had to tell him what you said. And I didn't even know that was in the Bible. And my daddy said, yeah, it's in the Bible. But you tell that pastor that there's three agreeing. He said, I'm not down there with you, but I'm going to agree too. And you know, the next day she come in, she said, you know what? That thing that we was praying about my daughter, it came to pass. I didn't think it was. Amen. It looked like it wasn't going to happen. But all of a sudden, God showed up. All of a sudden, there came that sword of the Lord. Amen. And it began to make a way. And there seemeth not a way. How many knows that God, amen, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever even ask or think. Amen. When God shows up, things begin to happen, even through our fear, even through our situation where so many times we want to doubt God. But God told Gideon, he said, I need you to go down to the enemy's camp. And I began to bring that into today's world as I prayed and I studied and I asked God, I said, God, give me a visual. Give me a visual effect of how that was. And God didn't show me the Amalekites, and God didn't really show me the Midianites. And I take it for the Bible and I understand what it said. There was a bunch of them. I believe it. I believe there was a pile of folks there. Amen. And I believe that the 300 were victorious. Not a one of them lost their life. I don't even believe they had a cut on them. I don't believe they had a scar. Amen. They were so victorious because God doesn't halfway do anything. And I said, God, let me see this. Let me see what struck the fear into that multitude of people. Just because that one of them had a dream and he began to share that dream and it began to go throughout the camp and they was already defeated before even Gideon and them got there. They was already defeated by the sword of God. God began to speak to me. And I began to think, there's a lot of spiritual unrest today. There's a lot of people concerned about Christians being killed, Christians being ridiculed, Christians being put down. They've taken prayer out of school. They want to get involved in everything. They don't want any Christian program, any Christian broadcasting on the television, on the radio. Thank God there's still some. There needs to be more than what there are, but thank God there's still some. And I begin to think about all of that, and I begin to think about, you know what? We don't need to back up to this. Amen. We don't need to fear that. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to fear. But I begin to think, if we could just listen to the enemy's camp, if we could just listen to what the demons of hell are talking about, and I know that they rant and they rave, amen, but when they are faced or confronted with the sword of the Lord, they're going to always back up, amen. They're going to always retreat. And God began to show me that mighty sword, amen, that he's going to take care of it. He don't need me to have to take care of it. He don't need the church to have to take care of it. God's going to take care of those situations. I believe all we got to do is just like Gideon, put our faith and trust in him. Amen. And know that as afraid as we are sometimes, the devil is even more fearful at the name of Jesus. He's more fearful at the sword of God. Amen. And God is going to be victorious. Whatever the consequences, whatever the situation that we face as a nation or as a church or as a body of Christ. I looked in the back of the book, folks. We win. Amen. We're winners. If you believe that, give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're afraid, then you need to hear what the enemy's saying. The enemy is saying that this has got to be the Lord. This has got to be God. The enemy's saying, you know what? There's revival coming. You know, the enemy's fearful of revival. Amen. You know, we think about revival and getting souls saved, and we need to get them saved. Amen. We need to reach out. But revival means to revive something that needs to be revived. Amen. Can I say the church needs to be revived? Come on, can I say the body of Christ needs to be revived? We need to wake up. We need to understand that we are on the winning side. We need to act like we're winners. We need to understand that we have access to the sword of God. Hallelujah. And that power, amen, that the devil cannot have access to. The devil's not going to win. I know that a lot of times it looks like the enemy is outnumbering us. It looks like everywhere you go, there's troubles, there's trials, there's problems, there's situations, there's things that's coming against our life. I've never seen the devil fight like he's fighting now. And I begin to think the reason that he's fighting with everything that he's got is because he's afraid of the sword of the Lord. He's afraid of revival. He's afraid of saints getting their mind on God. He's afraid of families joining together and holding hands and praying. Amen. He's afraid of us opening up our prayer closets again and beginning to get in a prayer closet and use it for what we're supposed to do, to get in touch with God and pray, not my will but thine be done. I believe all over the world, I believe all over the nation, there's people realizing that the only real answer is Jesus Christ. And we can't find it through our nation. We can't find it through our leaders. We can't find it through finance. We can't find it through power. But the only way we can find it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mighty sword of God is about, amen, to take care of the enemies. He's about to take care of those that confront the church. Glory to God. Because he tells me, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had the ability for us to look and see that flaming sword. Glory to God. That God has that mighty sword. That sword that's able to defeat any enemy. Anything that comes against us. Anything that comes against Christ. Even anything that comes against His body. Amen. The sword of the Lord is ready to be there to protect us. To keep us safe from all harm and danger. Amen. Let me tell you how powerful the sword of God is. Amen. I believe even the mention of it, devils begin to tremble. Devils begin to quake. Listen to what he said. His fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. They knew they was defeated. They knew they was defeated. I'm told by certain coaches and I'm told by certain athletic teams that if you have that defeated attitude ever before you get out on the field, then you don't have a chance. If you think that you're lost before you ever go out there, I don't care what kind of talent the other team has. I don't care what kind of talent you have. If you don't have the mindset that we can go out there and win, you might as well just stay there. Because you're not going to play up to your ability. You're not going to perform like you need to perform. And I see that, folks. I see that creeping into the church. I see that creeping into the ministry. I see that creeping into congregations. Congregations that have just become satisfied with mediocrity. And let me tell you something, there's nothing mediocre about God. There is nothing lackluster about His power. Amen. I've talked to pastors, I've talked to people, and they all say the same things. It is just difficult to get folks to church. I don't understand why. Amen. I love church. I need church. I need you. I need your prayers. I need your support. I love to come into the house of God. I love to praise and worship the Lord. I love to get caught up in the Spirit. And I know that God doesn't only live in the church. Amen. But when you're around a body of believers, amen, it kind of equips you, amen, for the week and all. But I talk to pastors, and pastors are saying the same thing. People just don't seem to have that desire anymore. People just don't seem seem to put forth the effort. And I say, Lord, what has happened to cause that? I know that we have power over the enemy. I know that greater is He that is within us. And I think that we all need revival, whether it's a scheduled revival or just us getting on our hands and knees before God and saying, God, Lord, I want to do everything else out of my life. I don't want anything between me and You, God. I want to rededicate my life to You because I want to experience that mighty power again. The sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord. And folks, I'd be the very first to tell you that things in the world are a little shaky now. Amen? I've heard it, symbolized or kind of like a powder keg. I've heard that term. The world is just kind of like a powder keg, waiting to be ignited. We have rebellious nations and renegade nations who have access to great power and weapons that are beyond our imagination, and with the attitude that they have, they could set off a war exactly like that. And we begin to be fearful. We begin to be fearful until God showed me this week. I'm not saying I had a vision. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying that I could not get my mind off of the sword of the Lord. Amen. I could see that, Brother Adam. I could see it just glowing. I could see it in its power. It wasn't a little bitty sword. It was a majestic sword. Amen. And I didn't see the face of God. I can't tell you that. Amen. But I was able to, in my mind, I could see the hand grasping onto that sword, and it wasn't my hand. Amen. It wasn't the president's hand. I believe it was the hand of Almighty God. Amen. Because anything that God puts His hand on is going to come powerful. Amen. In our lives, it's going to cut aside those problems, those situations, those confrontations that we come in contact with. God is going to do that if we will just allow Him to be God in our life. Amen. If you think Gideon was afraid, if you think Israel was afraid, you should have heard what the enemy was saying. There's no way we're going to win. And I believe Satan knows that. I believe Satan understands and knows that he is defeated. Amen. He is defeated. He's going to be cast in the bottomless pit himself. Amen. The key locked. He's going to be done away with. Glory to God. Well, no wonder the song says, what a day that will be. Amen. When we all get to heaven, glory to God. That's going to be a glorious time. Amen. As I said earlier, we are going to be victorious. We will win because of the sword of God. Because of the power of God over the enemy. I believe with all of my heart, as God began to unfold this before my very eyes, I can't adequately describe to you and tell you what all God impressed in my mind. But as I began to look, I began to kind of do like Gideon. I began to say, Lord, I'm a little bit fearful. I'm a little bit fearful of what's going on. I'm fearful for my grandchildren. I'm fearful for what they're going to have to face, God. I'm too old and long in life, and I know that what I got waiting over yonder, and I that doesn't concern me, but I see our young people, and I'm fearful the way things have changed in the last 10, 15 years, and there's no telling what will happen in the next 10 or 15, but every time that I would think that, God would remind me of that sword. Amen. I believe revival's coming. And folks, can I shake you up a little bit? Revival may not be in the church. Amen. I just said it's hard to get folks to church. God just may revive people out there who never even come into the doors of the church. I believe God can do it. I believe God can stir folks. Amen. I believe, you know, if He has to do it with 300, if He has to tell everybody else to go home, everybody who's fearful, everybody who wants to return to their tents, and they all left except 300 men. And Gideon took those 300 men, and God said, let's go win the battle now. Amen. We get 300 people, amen, with their mind made up, that we're going to agree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that revival is coming. We're going to pull them out of the flames of the fire. Amen. We're going to witness to folks. folks will be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. If we begin to pray, amen, and pray for a mighty move of God, not to lift up First Pentecostal, not to lift up the congregation in any means at all, but to lift up the name that is above all names, amen, to glorify Him, I believe revival will come. Hallelujah. Because of the sword of the Lord. Amen. And I thought about all of the ridicule. Thought about all the things that... Can I tell you that in a lot of situations, the church has become a laughingstock. Christianity is mocked and made fun of today and ridiculed more than any time that I could ever remember in my life. People are put down for claiming that they're Christians, that they're born again. People say that there's nothing to it. People say there is no God. And I thought that the devil is so afraid of what God is about to do that he's got all this stuff stirred up. And here's what the church doesn't need to do. The church doesn't need to look out there and say, we're outnumbered. There's way, way more of them than they are of us. But can I remind you that we have the sword of the Lord. We have the power. Amen. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Over every obstacle, over every problem, over every situation. Don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you face this week. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing going on in your life. Maybe you don't have any problems. Maybe you don't have any obstacles. But if there's somebody here tonight who's been a little fearful, afraid of what's happening, afraid of what's happening in their life, afraid of situation, afraid of finances, afraid of other issues, I want you to be able to envision the sword of the Lord and that power that He gives unto you and unto me. Would you stand? I'm going to ask the musicians if they would come. I want every saint of God praying. I want every eyes closed and every head bowed. Hallelujah.